Welcome back to the Raylo Show podcast. Today we have on Anthony Sigismund, who is the voice of the Big 3 Basketball League. For some context, this podcast was shot in Miami while we were at Rolling Loud a couple weeks back, and a Big 3 event was going on at the same time. We talked about the Big 3 Basketball League and what it can do to stick around for the long haul, and what it was like meeting Ice Cube for the first time. We hope you enjoy, and as always, please subscribe for new weekly podcasts. I gotta stack out this gold. I tell you I'm on a roll. About to get all this dough. We ain't no fuck niggas, no. I swear to God, we the ghost. This ain't the story they told. Man, if you know that. We're outside in hot Miami. Yeah. Hot Miami, bro.
Yeah, bro. For the people that are just watching right now, we are on day 3 of Rolling Loud, and we're hurting a little bit.
Or listening. So, you might hear listening. It in our voice.
Yeah, you might hear it in my voice right now. I'm hurting.
I think y'all are doing pretty well. I came in. I feel like the energy's still high, you know? So
yeah, no, we're trying to keep it going. Like, the last day, like, we're going to have a busy-ass last day. We've been trying to get a bunch of artist interviews,
yeah.
And we're going to try to get a lot of man on the street stuff, which been cool. Like, we had a couple people that were funny as fuck, but it's like they're far and few between right now, and there's too many like specimens at Rolling Loud right now to not get some funny answers.
Especially on that Saturday, for sure.
It's the one thing with like man on the street. This is our second time doing it. And from like the content you see, and this is what I always tell him, like, you want people that are like coming up to you and be like, oh, what questions you got? Because it's like, you know, they're going to give you something. And I hate going up to people that are like just kind of minding their own business. Like, oh, bro, you know, what's this question? Because it's just like, they don't want to be in it. Like, that's like kind of like my drawback with it. But it's good content. It's good content. Like, we did it for a New York Knicks game. It was New York Knicks, Cavs, like game
like
4 or 5.
Playoff game?
Yeah, playoff game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So New York fans are nuts.
Like, and they were wild. And it was funny. Like, we got a ton of compliments from it.
Yeah, you know, people liked it. That's why I wanted to do it again. Yeah. But it was literally the first round of the playoffs, and you would have thought it was fucking game 7 of the finals.
Oh, yeah. They're not used to being there.
They were fucking bananas. So, yeah. You know,
are y'all like, in terms of the game plan, is it like have fun like the first day, like kind of balance it the second day?
Or? It's been really like don't have any fun.
Yeah,
it's been like grind. Like it's kind of interesting. So like for the people that don't know about like how it works at a festival, some festivals you're like a little bit closer to the action. Like we're at the Hard Rock Stadium, and right next to it is like the F1 Stadium for Miami F1. So like our media stuff is in the F1 stuff, like in the F1 area. So we're nowhere near the stadium. Like, we have to get carted. Like, they take a golf cart and they like taxi you back there.
Yeah.
So like, we can't even hear the music, nothing. And like, to be honest with you, all the headliners are at night,
mm-hmm.
but like our boys, the guys that we really want to see are like performing
in the day.
Of course.
So like, we can't even see any of the people that we want to like actually see. We can't,
man, that's tough.
You know, so it's like, it is a little shitty, but like, we'll get to see that the classic performance. Like, we saw like Travis Scott, which like everyone was going crazy for. It was a good performance. We saw a bunch of really good artists. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's cool. But at the same time, we're like, fuck, if there were artists, I would want to watch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the people that we were like talking to, fucking with.
It's like the people that are performing at 5:30, not 10:30.
Travis Scott's not coming to media day being like, oh, hey, you know, guys, what do you guys want to talk about?
Yeah,
he's like, bro, I'm too fucking big for that. You know, so, which no disrespect to Travis, because like he's obviously earned that. But
yeah, I kind of like miss old Travis when he was like Lil Dola Flame and stuff.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so
have you ever been to Rolling Loud?
No, I've never been. I was actually talking to somebody today outside the hotel, and they were talking about like how they had a couple artists that were up there, and I was like, man, I should go there sometime. But I went to like festivals like Bonnaroo back in the day, you know, because I'm around that Tennessee area, so I went there a lot. It's pretty nuts. And then went to Voodoo Festival, so I don't know if it's like kind of similar to that.
I feel like
Rolling Loud's
mostly hip-hop, a lot of it's interesting. Like, Rolling Loud's kind of like a one of a kind. Like, not many, even like a full country festival. I guess country festivals are kind of like the same. You know, they'll have just country, but like, you go to like an EDM, like Bonnaroo or whatever, they're going to have everything. Like, they have every music. Like, it's predominantly like producers, DJs, but they're going to have hip hop artists. They're going to have a country artist. They're going to have like a fucking rock guy. They're going to have like some classic 80s band of old dude hippies that are just fucking jamming out on the set. Like, they had everything.
Yeah.
So it's like a broad range where like Rolling Loud is like very niche. Like, I was talking to a few people when we were at the 21 Savage concert, and they were all like, yeah, we're not really hip hop fans. We just wanted to come for the party. And like, and I'm like, that's insane.
That's wild.
That's insane.
Nah, I think if I was ever going to do another festival and I wasn't covering it, I think I would just do one day.
Yeah. Yeah.
One day, go hard. Because then it's like day 2, it's like, okay. And like how they obviously do the festivals, they try to like even out the talent, so you want to go all 3 days. But it's just like,
Well, you pick and choose.
At Bonnaroo and stuff, you like camp or you have the option to camp. So I've like camped before.
Oh, I hate that.
It's exhausting.
It sucks.
And yeah.
I would never do that.
Yeah, it's fun like the first day. Like you go crazy. You know, they have concerts at 2 a.m. So you're like, I'll just be sleeping in the tent or whatever. But like, and it's hot and like you're exhausted.
It sucks.
And I'm hungover.
I'm glad you said that because I was trying to explain to him, like, I used to go to Electric Forest all the time, which is fucking nuts.
It's a different breed.
Yeah, it's a nuts concert. And I was trying to explain to him, like, the last show here is at like 11:45 is when the last show starts. That's not even late. But you go to like Electric Forest, the last show is starting at 2 a.m. And then they're going to be like, they're going to run the set an hour and a half. And then they're going to like where the RVs are. Cause again, you're camping. It's like, bro, they'll literally put you, they'll have like, oh, we're doing a secret set with Marshmello in the RV section. And some dude has like some decked out RV with turntables and speakers, and Marshmello will just come up at fucking 4 a.m. while people cracked out and just have a time. And it's like, bro, it's not that I'm not built for that. It's like, I want to go to bed.
Well, I was going to say, even Bonnaroo is like different because like the last show on Sunday is always like some like kind of OG artists. Like they'll have like Elton John there or something as the last show.
Oh, yeah.
But in the middle of the shows, they got like Wiz Khalifa, or, you know, they might have Marshmello like 2 a.m. or something like that. So I think they kind of balance it.
So obviously, you know, based off the talk already, you know, we're obviously in Miami for Rolling Loud. But I want to introduce Anthony to the show. So today we have on Anthony Sigismond. And we connected it was probably well over a year ago when Josh, when I first started making content. It was during this kind of off season of sports where the Big Three basketball was playing. I was like, there's something interesting about here. And obviously, like, I'm a big fan of Ice Cube and kind of what he's building. And we started making some Big Three content. I think you saw our video.
Yeah,
And like, we immediately connected and we kind of always stayed in touch. And obviously, you live here in Florida. But the reason why we got this to pull through is obviously we're in Miami for Rolling Loud, but the Big Three's playing today.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a full circle moment finally getting you on. So appreciate you coming on, man.
Man, I appreciate y'all having me. Yeah, like you said, saw your content originally. And I was kind of just following you guys for a little bit. And I was like, man, really respect what they're doing, like just grinding it out and kind of have a similar mindset. I don't like, to me a little bit, where it's kind of like a fuck it attitude. Like, you kind of got to go for it, kind of got to try new things and put yourself out there a little bit, make yourself uncomfortable. And so I really appreciated that about you guys. So
no, that's what we fuck with you, honestly. Like, we do appreciate that. It's like, we fuck with you because you're hustling. It's like, you actually found something that's like, it's niche, but no one was doing it. And you kind of were like, fuck, I'm going to be the guy who does it. And it's like, I think that is going to be the moment when you look back in 10 years, 20 years, you're going to be like, damn, that was the moment that changed everything I was going to do. Because at the end of the day, like, doing things like that, like the Big Three, even if the Big Three never worked out, works out, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be able to look back at that and you're going to be able to move that to whatever place you want and be like, well, I did this. I did this. You know, I scaled this, blah, 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 blah. We worked with this. And it's like, you should be trying to shoot for the moon.
Yeah.
In that sense.
It's pretty wild that you say that, because actually last night was kind of like a revelation. So I've been to a few Big Three events. I try to go to one like every single year. So I've been to Atlanta a couple times. I went to Vegas when they were kind of like coming out of the pandemic year or whatever. Yeah. But last night was the first time I went to like an NFT party, because like a couple years ago they started where you could have NFT holders and they could be owners or part owners. And that's really like elevated to like another level this year. Yeah. But they do like little events, like VIP events. And I went last night and it was kind of like a full circle moment there, where it's like I've interviewed all these guys and now I'm meeting them in person.
Yeah.
Even met Cube last night, which was insane.
That's awesome. Dapped
each other up, kind of like gave each other our flowers and stuff. But that was a pretty surreal moment.
He had seen your content and everything?
He's seen my content before. Fuck. And was just kind of talking about how he like appreciated what I was doing and stuff. And I was like, damn, like, it's pretty insane to like meet people in person and like understand, like, they're actually watching. Like, it's not like or listening or like seeing what I'm doing. It's not just kind of like, oh yeah, like we've seen that every now and then.
No,
so
it's
Big Three should be like sponsoring you. They should be flying you out to all the games. Because it's like no one's doing it.
But
right?
That's something that's what I was gonna say. That's something that you should be trying to push with the Big Three.
Sure.
I think that you should, like, if there's anything that I can say, like us working in media and stuff, like, you should be pushing, you should be trying. Like, your biggest thing is, yes, you should be trying to make these relationships with the players, obviously, like, that's great. Players are going to come and go. You should be trying to really start linking up with like some media companies, and I think, you know, maybe we could help you out a little bit and just, you know, give you your 2 cents. I think that you should be like reaching out to the Big Three and being like, yo, how can I cover this game? Like, what do I got to do? Even if it's like, you know, they only want to split the cost with you or whatever, it may just have to better yourself a little bit. But that's kind of what we're doing here.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, with that, I mean, you never know who's going to see it. Like, Cube might fuck with you and might want to bring you in on other shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he might want to part of it. You know what I mean? Like, you got to think about it in the high side. Like, what can you offer Ice Cube? What can you do to him for him to be like, damn, this guy's pushing my shit for me. I'm not giving him a dime, whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, that's what I would be thinking. How can you add value to these people and not want anything in return? If you can do that, it's gonna make them be like, wow, I really fuck with this guy. Well, and that's everything.
100%. And I think, you know, that's what I kind of respect about you guys, how you guys are kind of just pushing the limits on your own dime, right? And that's kind of what I'm trying to do as well, is trying to find that balance. It's interesting because when I first started this thing, I linked up with somebody and I had a co-host, and he actually got a job with the Big Three, like a contract job. And I was like, that's cool. He couldn't do it, the show anymore, because it was kind of like contradicting. You know.
Conflict of interest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he actually went to work for him. But what happened is, over time, is that he ended up not getting his contract renewed, and now he's not doing anything with the Big Three. You know, we don't really talk to each other. But it's even crazier to the other extent, is like, well, that's the route I'd want to go, but now I've seen how it could play out potentially, and you don't want it to play out like that. And then on the other side, it's like, I've had players where I posted stuff, and then when he was still kind of my co-host, also working for the Big Three, trying to balance that out, he would be like, hey, don't put this up, it's not a good look for the league. Whereas players were coming on, it's like, hey, you're like our voice in a sense, right? Like, you know, we need you to kind of come through for us. So,
and I think, listen, if people aren't reaching out saying you shouldn't put it out, you're probably not pushing it
for sure. You definitely gotta push it. Like, I think that, one, anything in social, it's not gonna rub everyone the right way. Like, you can't please everyone, you can't appeal to everyone, and it's like, that is kind of a thing that you might have to decide when it comes push to shove. What do you want to be? Do you want to be for the people, like for the players, or is it like, do I want to be for the organization? And I think there is a balance where it's like, obviously there's a balance, but with that being said, it's like almost being like, what do I want to do? And I think obviously with the players is probably like where I would think, like, most people, or the fans, like players, fans, how they feel, because at the end of the day, you are a fan, you know, so it's like, you have to be like, how would I want it? How am I reacting? And I think that's like, when we talk about like part of my take a lot, like the reason why they're so successful is because they're, one, they're relatable, but two, they're fans, and they play into that even so much more, that they're like, fuck, we're such fans that we're like dumb fans, and like, we do it, not to say we got to do that, but I'm just saying like that plays when you do things like that. So definitely a good thing to think about.
Talk about how you got into the Big Three basketball. For sure. Like, what made you want to get into that? Because I obviously see why. I think you were definitely trying to go for something that's like different, kind of out of the box. That's why we started making. I was trying to, like, we were doing a lot of sports content, but I was like, there's no sports. I'm not covering baseball, because no one cares about baseball. Like, no one does.
Yeah.
So it's like, how can I do something? And basketball is such a huge market. There's soccer and basketball, probably the two biggest sports in the world.
Yeah.
So it's like, and I don't watch any soccer. So it's like, how can we make content? And I thought the Big Three was different because it's, you know, it's obviously 3-on-3. It's different. They're not trying to be the NBA. They're getting these like old NBA stars or people who were good overseas. And I think that's another conversation to have, is like getting some like bigger names in the Big Three.
For sure.
But talk about like what led you
to
make the Fourth Man podcast.
Yeah. It's a good question. It's interesting. So I was a sports journalist, or I wanted to be an aspiring sports journalist out of college. Wanted to work for the newspaper and cover shit. And then you kind of realize, like, a little too late sometimes, like, you don't really know what you want to do when you're 18 years old. You think you know what you want to do, and then when you graduate, you're like, oh, this is not for me. That was exactly what happened. I was like, I don't want to work for the newspaper here in like Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is where I went to school.
Right.
I mean, they're not even like even thinking progressively of what to do. They're still printing out paper copies, and that's just not the movement in the world today. So
right.
I still wanted to do something. Like you said, I didn't want to cover the four major sports. I didn't want to be another take that's just like kind of going by on people's timelines. And so I was like, I come from a smaller town, and it's not like super small, but it's a smaller town where people aren't aware of some of the players and athletes that come out. And I was like, I want to be able to cover guys that like aren't as well known. So originally I actually started with I was watching the Big Three. I was blogging a little bit about it for season two, but I was like, I really wanted to get into podcasting. And so I played football in high school. I was living in Atlanta in 2019, and I was covering the Alliance of American Football, the Atlanta Legend, which is a spring league that we debunked. And I was getting a lot of good traction from there, especially because they were city affiliated. I was like, oh, this is dope. I'm meeting players, I'm meeting personnel, I'm getting a lot of good interviews. Like, I like this a lot. But at the same time, I was like, I still want to do stuff with the Big Three. And so, like, was kind of starting a podcast there. Was going to kind of try to balance everything and then create like one big medium for everything, of like the underdogs kind of, and like these like complimentary leagues. Well, then you know, as every spring football league does, comes and crashes.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that went out the door. I put all my eggs in like one basket for the big three. And then just one thing led to another. My first interview, and just shout out to this guy, Craig Smith, who used to play for the LA Clippers. He was playing for the Enemies at the time. And from there, just kind of like snowballed. A lot of players were into it, interested in coming on the show, was getting a lot of coverage. And then maybe about I met my co-host who was kind of covering the big three. He wasn't doing a podcast, but he was doing like updates and stuff. So I felt like it was a good connection there. And then maybe about a year into it, was recognized by the league and then so forth. I met Ice Cube, went to my first event as a credential member.
Yeah.
And at that time, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, honestly. I was like nervous as hell. I was like getting starstruck a little bit. But as time goes on, like last night, I felt like I just like knew these guys really well. So anyways, that being said, just wanted to cover something that wasn't the norm, just a little bit different. The I work in sales, so a big thing is like, you know, be a pattern disruptor. Yeah. And that's ultimately what I was trying to do.
Yeah, no, I love that. No, I love that too. That. Honestly, like that's good shit, man. That's really cool.
I've had this thought about like, you know, those like spring football leagues of how to make them last, and obviously you need a lot of money because it's a lot of upfront expenses.
Yeah.
My thing is I think they should make each NFL team or like two NFL teams support one of the spring football teams. Because here's the thing. One, every other sport has minor leagues. Every sport.
Yeah.
It also, this is where it benefits the NFL team. Players on your practice squad, maybe players that get like hurt, players you just want to like see get more reps, they can play in that league.
Yeah.
Like whether it's one game, two games, couple plays a game, whatever it is. And I think that's where it needs to go. Like there's a lot of good football players out there, but I think where the spring football leagues are lacking is everybody talks about the quarterback play because it's obviously there's a huge drop off, but there's so many like better players out there that I think could make it to the NFL, and everybody loves an underdog story. Everybody wants that. I think if the football teams would actually support it, like they say the NFL supports it, but I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
But like if the Detroit Lions and the Jacksonville Jaguars are like, we're going to sponsor the Michigan Panthers.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to send our players. We'll send resources. We're going to make sure they're good. Like, it would work. I just don't know if the NFL teams want to do that.
Yeah, it would be interesting. I mean, clearly the quarterback's going to drop off because, one, hardest position to play in sports, but two.
But think about all the practice squad quarterbacks should go there and get reps.
For sure, 100%.
And it would immediately get better.
But also think about the guys that are really good that like knew they weren't going to be playing in the NFL, and they were like, I know I'm not going to be, I don't want to be a practice squad guy. I'm just going to get a job because I'm a smart guy. How many of those guys are there? Yeah. A lot.
You know, it's crazy. Like offensive linemen is like what I see a lot of like teams actually needing. Like they talk about how in the spring league or the XFL, USFL, like they're lacking offensive linemen. So like for any of the big dudes out there listening to this, like maybe that's the route to go. But it's interesting you bring up that point because like right now Cube's on like kind of a fuck the gatekeepers tour where they're kind of having this like this issue where the NFL is like embracing what the XFL is doing, whereas NBA is not, you know. And it's like how do you support those leagues without making them competition, right? Like these are complementary leagues. NBA doesn't see the big three as that, which it is a complementary league. Like the big three's not competing with the NBA.
I completely agree. And I think I could see why the NBA has pushback with it, only in the sense because they already have like the G League.
Yeah.
But in my head, the G League and the NBA run simultaneously.
For
right?
Sure.
It's like a true minor league system. And I think that's why the NFL doesn't really collide with the other summer leagues because it's opposite season. So it's like, yes, you do get the reps, but it's like
the big three's opposite season.
Exactly. But that's why I think it's hard for the NBA is because it's opposite season. It's hard for them to like rebrand themselves. Like, oh, there's NBA all the time because the NBA already has a problem right now with trying to get people to focus on 82 games because guess what? Guys don't want to play 82 games.
For sure.
So it doesn't matter if you made the season 50 games. Guys would be like, I don't want to play all 50 games. So it doesn't matter how many games you make it. But so because they know
that. Because no one gives a fuck because about the regular season.
Exactly. The regular season. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So for the NBA to be like, yo, we're going to try to push this on the people that, you know, people don't already know, or maybe they do. Some people know, but aren't fully educated on it or like fully like not. It's not super mainstream yet, I should say, like the NBA. But with that being said, I think that's maybe the reason why they have pushback with it is because they have such a hard time getting their own 82 games to be relevant to make it like, oh, we need to get this summer league now going. And I think that's a completely different thing, especially because they already kind of have like their big summer league. They have their draft. So like in marketing corporate minds that like I've been kind of thinking in lately, mm-hmm. it's like everything's on seasons. Everything's like, oh, we have this, then we do this, then we do this. And it's like, it's hard to disrupt that. Like yeah. it has to be something where like if Cube can grow it, maybe Cube has to get a little Saudi money up in here, start buying a couple players. And then well, maybe, I think that's then maybe, is. Maybe the NBA goes, oh fuck, we're going to pay attention and make this like a complimentary thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hey, that's a great point. I mean, like, you know, they're trying to get their summer. They want people to watch Summer League and then like,
exactly.
know, they're trying to get people to watch that as well because draft picks play like what, one or two games.
Exactly. Like but like it sucks because you got like Wembanyama who everyone wants to fucking watch.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they're like, he plays one, two games and then they're like, we're going to shut him down. He's good. Which I get 100%. But as a fan, you're like, yo, this fucking hype has been ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we want to see this guy play a couple games. Like, yeah. let's see him hoop.
Well, it's tough, too, just because the Big Three is not only, like, having to – because, like you said earlier, like, basketball is one of the most popular sports in the world. So not only do you have the NBA that you're fighting against, but you also have FIBA who you're fighting against, three-on-three basketball, like, right? So, like, back in 2019, this guy, Dusan Bulut, who's the captain of Aliens now, he was actually drafted by the Big Three, and it was right before the Olympics, the first time they were doing three-on-three. And they basically told him, like, hey, if you play in the Big Three, like, we're going to put down sanctions on you, and you're not going to play in the Olympics. So he was like, I can't play that year. Ends up playing in 2021, now in 2022, what 2023, whatever. But like from what I know, he's suspended from FIBA because he decided to go the Big Three route. So like it's just kind of like because Damn. You're in one of the biggest, you know, biggest sports in the world, you're kind of fighting with everybody, which is kind of why I do the podcast too, is to continue to try to bring awareness and say like, hey, this is they're in their own lane right here. They're not trying to
maybe. Sorry to interrupt. Maybe it's almost like that just reminded me of maybe it's not the NBA they need to line up with. Maybe the Big Three needs to line up with FIBA because I'll tell you why. It's almost that just reminded me of like PGA Live, right? They were like, if you go to Live, you yeah. won't, you know, you'll be this, you'll be that. You know, maybe it's just like one of those things where it's like there's no bad for FIBA and Big Three to not work together, right? Like, because they really could, because yeah. like the FIBA's only every couple of years, isn't it?
I think they do like a tour year round. It's just like oh, such okay. different styles, All you know. Right. And I think
I didn't know they did a tour year. I thought it was like every couple of years thing.
They do like a bunch of tours and like you qualify like all right. year round for like
I could
the
main see why
tour.
It's so again, even maybe more of the reason why it's fucking big, you know, PGA Live, you know.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's just a competition, so. You know yeah. what I mean? It almost makes it seem very similar, you know.
It like, is interesting though, like just cuz all these different leagues are coming out. It's kind of like I don't know if you've ever heard this, but like there's only like 13 different storylines you can actually like movie producers and authors can put together, supposedly. Like there's only 13 different foundations you can put together. It feels like that in sports right now, where it's like
for sure.
you got football, baseball, basketball, golf, or whatever, and then they got different iterations of it. I mean, slam ball just came back with basketball. You got
golf
the tournament.
Came out with some like arcade version. Or
right, right.
It is.
I mean, then you got Top Golf factoring. I mean, I know yeah. they're not professional, but it's just like iterations yeah. of everything
for
it
sure
like right now.
It's a good point.
They're just trying to gamify it, right? Maybe yeah, Big Three needs to gamify more. And I know they try to do the 4-point thing, and I think maybe gamifying it more could help. I'm just interested to see. I think a lot of it, and like just like what we were talking
mic'd
about
up.
With like the summer league,
yeah.
with like this like
sick.
Mic'd up would be cool.
Sorry to interrupt.
No,
mic'd
no, you're
up.
Good. All behind the scenes shit would be
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
Like Vlog. Inside the locker room,
yeah,
travel vlogs. Because it's like they're traveling every weekend or every other weekend, wherever it's at. Like mm-hmm. following the teams would be cool. People like behind the scenes, like Hard Knocks has proved that.
Yeah.
The 24/7 leading up to big boxing matches has shown that like
yeah.
people want behind the scenes. People want to see the inside of people's bedrooms. It's
yeah,
a fact.
And that could be a really cool angle for you if you could get
True.
Like if you like you start
cute.
You start pressing it and you know. Give out an idea and just kind of be like, yo, I want to get more behind the scenes footage. I think it would be crucial to the fans and people that want to watch it, because you could make it look really cool, like especially if you mic these fucking guys up, like you could get some real HBO shit. And to be honest with you, it's actually easy because there's only three guys on each side, so it's like you're talking about way less numbers,
yeah,
way
yeah.
less people. Like, there's such a focus on these certain players. It's like you could really do some cool
especially
shit
with like
access.
The Big Three. Like, they usually have pretty cool head coaches too, which I think yeah. gives it an angle.
Yeah.
Also, the one thing
I think that could be interesting.
The one thing I think they have to do, and it matters, and it's the same thing with like the spring football leagues. You got to figure out how to get bigger names. Like the one time, the first season when they had AI, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He played like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's like they sold that fucking thing out.
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's doing that over and over. How every weekend can you get a superstar to just play one game?
Yeah. No,
that's the idea, because it's like if you sell at the stadium, you're making money.
And I think this is like the first year they didn't bring in like a big, big name. Like Joe Johnson was playing in the league last year and then like retired.
They had Gerald Green too.
But I was going to just say, I felt like there was like actually like a relationship issue maybe there with the big three, or like maybe there was just like a lot of like scheduling change or whatnot where Joe didn't want to play. So I was actually saying before the season, I was like, their biggest thing right now is making sure that you get the face of the league, because he's the face of the league, I think, like right now, being a two-time MVP, a champ, whatever, getting him, making sure that he's playing for another season, which he is. So I think that was a big win. However, like you said, bringing in like, I don't know, like a Lance Stevenson, like a DeMarcus Cousins, just like, you 100%. Know, a big name like that. And I think maybe
Dwight Howard.
Yeah, like I think as the years go on, hopefully they'll be able to do more of that. But like this year, I think it was more of just like trying to get back on tour. Like they're, you know, they're going to
I mean, I definitely think the one game is almost like a great option, because it's like at that point, it's just relationships. Like that's like big three, Ice Cube. Really, it's not even big three. It's Ice Cube. Ice Cube's got to go some Gary Vee shit and start fucking just dialing in, like honestly, because I think that's like really what it comes down to. Like, if you get like a Dwight Howard to come out and be like, Dwight, because he's in Thailand, bro, and the reason why he's in Thailand, just money.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
He's
right?
All about
he's
money.
Back now,
but that's what I'm saying. But like, you know what I mean?
I would say it's like, and then they don't even have to be like basketball. Like, bro, you could get fucking have Snoop Dogg come play a game. Have J. Cole come play a game.
I think it'd be cool if they had some NFL guys come or something.
NFL guys, like that'd be an interesting like, one. J. Cole, that's a great one.
It's big names that people would pay to see play basketball.
Obviously, yeah. J. Cole's probably expensive to get out, but he's also a hooper, and he might.
But you're going
to
sell out the stadium.
And Cole's like, it's like a guy like J. Cole. Why is Big Three not going? Like Ice Cube go up to him like, hey, bro, I know you're a hooper. All right, we're going to do one in North Carolina, your hometown. We're gonna do it here. I'm going to give you half the ticket revenue. The other half is going to go to the big three. We're going to do this right. You're going to be hooping, you know, blah, blah, blah. You can talk to the people. You can do whatever you want. You don't got to perform nothing like that. But like, bro, talk to the people, like show love, like go, like I would tailor it to these big people and just be like, yo, how can we do? And maybe that's not like all the time, but like, if they're just picking random cities throughout, like I would be like, who can we get in this big city? You know, who can come out and do this? Right.
Well,
and
I think that's kind of the start of it, is like just making sure back on tour, making sure you're getting a bunch of people in the seats first, building that revenue, so you have the cash flow to go out and do something like that. But man, that'd be cool. I mean, like I was trying to think of recently.
Where do you see the league in the next like 5 years? Like, what do you see? Like, where do you see the league? Is there anything you're trying to like lucratively do within it? Like what's your like 5 year plan
besides
here?
Behind the scenes shit that you're gonna pitch Ice Cube on as soon as you leave here?
That's a great idea. Like, you just need to be like HBO Hard Knocks, but for big three.
Man, yeah, that'd be dope. Definitely need to pitch that idea for sure. In terms of the plan and where I see the league, it's interesting because I think the pandemic really fucked them. I think there was a peak season of 2019. And I think it was kind of like trying to get that 3 year buildup again, where like back now and here in 2023, we're seeing great numbers, but it's like almost like you had to restart, like get the name back out. Cause if you're not doing anything for a year,
for sure,
no one's going to remember
you're dead.
Who you're doing. Exactly. Yeah. So in terms of that, I think the league is growing constantly. I see like more credibility this year being put on the league, and like players like really like embracing it and trying to get the name out of it. So I see bigger names in the league. I see the league lasting. I mean, I would say at least for the next 5 years for sure with some of those bigger names. I see the league going international. Like, they're going to London this year for the championship game, but I could see games in like
I didn't know that, but that makes a lot of sense, traveling, because like we all know, you get some big names, people internationally love basketball.
Yeah.
You know, like, people are going to show up. It might do better internationally than in America.
It might do better. They might need to take the big three to China.
Well, yeah.
Popping.
I think they're doing like a mini tour there this offseason.
They definitely should.
They didn't have any other.
That's a great idea.
Huge guys out there. They had some OGs. But I think they should like get some guys out there. I think they should get, like you said, some artists, some like, you know, NFL players, maybe an MLB player in there. I mean, like, they got some social or like Instagram hoopers, right, or like guys that like are big on social media.
I mean,
they
there's,
but that's a good
I mean,
idea
like,
too.
So Chris Berkeley, right? He works with all these NBA guys, New York guys, shout out. He fucking always has like Stephon Diggs. Like, he like Stephon Diggs goes to Chris Berkeley and works on his game. He's an NFL player, a stud in the NFL, and he's in there hooping. And it's like, I watch him and I'm like, bro, if he committed his time just to hooping, this guy could play in the league. Like, he is a freak fucking athlete.
And maybe that's the angle you take it as, a sense of like two sport athlete as a professional. Like, I don't know how many people would want to do that, but like, for instance, in the TBT, they got Dominique Rogers-Cromartie with his own team, and he's just out there hooping. He's not the best player, but he's out there hooping. Like, I think that's a cool angle if you get a bigger player.
For sure. But like, to me, it's like, that's why it'd be great to get like an NBA sign off, because it's like, all these guys are hooping. If anybody knows anything about NBA players, they just hoop. Like, Jimmy Butler gets off of the fucking finals, next day he's hooping, right? Yeah. So it's like, why does it matter if they like, you got a big name, they give him $1 million to go fucking play in one fucking game or whatever it is in their city. They don't got to do nothing. It's like, yeah, we're in the Cleveland Cavaliers. We're going to have fucking Donovan Mitchell. He's gonna show up, and he's not even have to play. He just plays a fucking little bit, shooting around.
That'd
like
be nuts.
You know what I mean? But like, why not? Like, they're already hooping. They'll go to the LA Fitnesses and fucking hoop for fun. You know what I mean? Like, they go hoop with random motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are not, like, there's no one in the big three who's a bad basketball player. These guys are all good basketball players.
For sure.
Like, they're not going to go there and get hurt because they're playing with bums.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, that's an interesting angle, too. I think it's just a matter of, like, Cube and Adam Silver eventually, like, coming to a compromise.
And maybe that's just me being a dumb fan, right? And I'm just like, why, like,
I don't think any theory out there you throw out is a bad idea.
I mean,
you
but like people are, like I saw like Kyrie, LeBron, like they'll go play in the Drew League, and like, you know, like in the summer, like those guys are good basketball players, clearly.
Yeah.
Like that are in the Drew League, but like it doesn't matter. Like the big three guys, like, bro, you got a ton of ex NBA guys, so it's like, what's the difference? You know, you got young bucks, you got a couple older guys. Like, yeah, maybe the pace, maybe a little bit, maybe slower. I don't know. I doubt it, right? Like, it's probably pretty close.
3-on-3, you're trying to get back and clear the ball.
Exactly. And like it's quick. It's fast paced, right?
Yeah. Royce White actually talked about that, too. Is like, if he ever got another NBA chance, you know, he would still play in the big three because he fucks with it, you know?
Man, I'm very, very interested to see where the big three goes. Obviously, I always keep a close eye on it. I work a little bit close to it. So I'm excited to see where it comes. I think there's definitely a lane with it, but... Anthony, brother, appreciate you coming on, man. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Bro,
it's been a conversation. Thank you, I'm honored to be on.
No, yeah, we'll have to, if we're around, bro, maybe we'll catch a big three game eventually here. And
for sure.
We'll try to wrap it up. Maybe if Cube wants to do the Hard Knocks, we'll come in and help.
First two guys, I'll come reach out to him.
Bro, we'll fucking, hey, if he wants it, we'll be like, hey, you know, we'll give it a good old fashioned go.
Gary V's got a team, so maybe for
sure. I mean, fuck, we got a team in this house right now of killers. I mean, like, no joke. Like, these guys are like, you know, Creighton and Devin, they can shoot some crazy shit.
Facts.
Some crazy shit. So.
But appreciate you coming on, brother.
Appreciate you, bro.
Thank you. And if you know, then you know. I never had to tell my dogs we on roof for greatness. They paper getters, they want money more than they want fame shit. I swear we go so hard, we on A-list. I see my niggas prevailing. Be going hard for the hand. We gonna stack till we jaded. I just told my niggas that we on a mission. Yeah. It's gonna be hard to get it. On par for the misses, I put my heart in my feelings. On tracks I don't even feel. We by the box, we dripping. We by the box, we fall. My emotions stay warm. And I ain't never gonna slip. All by my mama house. Won't see my brothers get ripped. I tell you I'm in. Watch me get my racks. And we bought so hard they think my niggas selling crack. We was pushing packs for 260 or a pound. We was down, probably had some product in your town. But now we back, same straight for all my niggas, for all my fam. And I made about 10 racks up off these features in the air. For my grandma, ho, she know that this for you and you and him. For my brothers, for my family, for my mama, for my friends. I gotta fight for my brothers, I gotta stack out this gold. I tell you I'm on the road, about to get all this dough. Me and no fuck niggas know. I swear to God, we the ghosts. This ain't the story they told. Man, if you know, then you know. I never had to tell my dogs when we on roof for greatness. They paper getters, they want money more than they want fame shit. I swear we go so hard, we on A-list. I see my niggas prevailing. Be going hard for the hand. We gonna stack till we jaded. I just told my niggas that we on a mission. Yeah. It's gonna be hard to get it. So I'm part for the misses. I put my heart and my feelings on tracks I don't even feel. We by the box, we dripping. We by the box, we fall.